Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This is just going to be a text to bounce out of Hebrews. This is the verses, Brother Jason, the first time you came on a Wednesday night, this is the verses that I was preaching in, and I would not have remembered that had you not mentioned it preaching a while back. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, stand with me, please, if you're able, in reverence to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 12, I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll get into the message. The Bible said, for consider him. Have you considered him this morning? Do you know if he don't do a work this morning, there ain't no work going to be done? The Bible said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You can be seated. Pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God now. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, this morning to get out, our Father, what you've put in our hearts. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are good. Lord, you said the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Lord, I know that's true for the sinner as well as the saints of God. I can't count the times, Lord, that in my life you made me so ashamed of myself and smothered me, Lord, with your goodness. Lord, I found my place on my knees begging for mercy. God, you're a merciful God. God, I pray you'd have mercy today. And Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say before I get started, Brother Junior, it's an honor to see you. Amen. I mean that. He's been around the block the last couple of weeks. Brother Junior told me, before they ever did the heart cath, he said, I feel like that stent they put in on the backside of my heart's blocked up. And they got in there, and guess what they found? That stent on the backside of his heart was blocked up. You know what I told him? He ought to demand a refund because he diagnosed himself. Amen. He told him where to go look. Amen. I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject. Four biblical places that we need to consider as we consider him. Four biblical places that we need to consider as we consider him. I want you to key in on the word, if you have a pencil and you mark in your Bible, the word place in these texts that I'm going to use. If there was only four places that I could tell anybody in the whole world about, it would be the four places that I'm going to share with you this morning. The first place is a place called heaven. I want you to look in your Bible at 2 Chronicles. If you don't want to turn there and just make a note, you can look at it later. The Bible said, then the priest, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. I want you to know there is a place called heaven. Amen. And the Word of God considers that place to be a holy place. I believe that's important. It's his holy dwelling place. And I believe we ought to this morning approach it as such. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood two seraphims. Stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can I tell you what they're doing in heaven this morning? The same old thing. Holy, holy, holy. I would want to tell the world, Brother Chris, about a place called heaven. And God said it's a holy place. The Bible said in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. I don't know about you, beloved, this morning, but I'm glad flesh ain't a-going. I'm glad sin ain't a-going. I'm glad the devil ain't a-going. Amen. I'm glad, thank God Almighty, heaven is a holy place. And that's where we're headed as the children of God. And the Bible said in Revelation 22 and verse number 3, and there shall be no more curse. Won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. Miss Eve's got them rose bushes along the back of the house. And you got to be careful trimming them things and pruning them things. And then even getting up the clippings, or you'll have a thorn in your finger and you'll have a little blood test going on, Brother Brian. Amen. Without not meaning to. And I'm telling you, beloved, I'm headed to a place. Not only will the roses never fade, but praise God, they'll not have a thorn on them either. The curse is gone. Hallelujah. I've got to get up there right now and get me a little bit of diesel fuel and burn my garden off. Why? Get rid of them weed seed. But where I'm going, ain't no weeds. Ain't no curse. Amen. The word of God said the trees of the field will clap their hands and celebrate that day that they're out from under the curse of sin. Amen. And they shall see his face. God spoke to my heart right there. For years I've been preaching, you know, that I believe that before we ever see his face, that we'll see his feet. When John saw him, the word of God said he fell at his feet as dead. But you know what? It looks like we're going to fall there, Brother Chris, but be able to get up and going to be able to see his face. You talk about kindness, brother. You talk about love. You talk about mercy. But we're going to be able to look into the eyes of the Son of God and see, amen, what's on his heart. Not only is heaven a holy place, but let me give you this. Heaven's a happy place. You know what? A lot of people wants to be happy. Amen. And I'm telling you, somebody said to me one time, said, preacher, you act like you're happy. I said, problem, I ain't acting. I is happy. Amen. Glory to God. We got enough actors in the world. Amen. They need to be out there in California. Amen. We need some men of God in the pulpits, full of God and full of his joy. Amen. Realizing heaven is a happy place. Why is it a happy place? Number one, because of his presence. In Psalm 16:11, thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't enjoy getting close to him down here, what in the world makes you think you're going to enjoy over yonder? Because we're going to be in his presence, no longer by faith, but by sight. It's a happy place because of his presence. It's a happy place because of his promise. What the Bible say? I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. This pastor will visit the last one of his members with the skin hanging on the bone. I'm telling you, beloved, it's a happy place because God promised, amen, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no sickness, there's no crying. God's going to wipe all those things away. And the Bible said, he said, behold, I make all things new. Now watch this. Not only is it a happy place because of his presence and because of his promise, but I want to give you this. You better get in on this. If you don't, beloved, you're missing out. It's a happy place because of his people. Glory, glory, glory. Listen to what the Bible said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I think about that when I get in the cemetery, amen. And the Bible said here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you love church? Do you know Jesus loves the church? I'm telling you, beloved, he said, beloved, listen, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, even so, but exhorting one another, and even so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm telling you, the church ought to be a happy place. Why? Because heaven is going to be a happy place when we get together with God's people. I got to rolling around in my mind, and I'm not going to start naming names. I'd miss somebody, maybe offend somebody, but I got to rolling around in my mind the last 12 years, the precious saints of God that's left this auditorium and went over yonder. I'm telling you what, here's a preacher that's going to be happy to see them again. Glory to God. There'll be no limping. Amen. There'll be no trying to get a breath. I'm telling you, over yonder, everything will be just right. Hallelujah. And then take your Bible. I want you to turn here. Turn to Revelation. Not only is heaven a happy place and a holy place, but heaven is an honorable place. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? They're going to honor the Lord. And now listen, Chris, you help me a minute. Coulter, you help me a minute. Jason, you help me a minute. Brian, ain't that good? Four sections and four preachers. Hallelujah. Only God could do that. Chris, you take that section over there. Brian, you take this section right here. Coulter, you just turn around. Jason, you take that section over there. Y'all get ready now. You ready? You get ready. You get ready. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. This is what they're going to be doing in heaven. In verse number 11 of chapter number 4, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord. And Brother Chris, that's your phrase over there. Thou art worthy, O Lord. You got it, Brother Chris? Thou art worthy, O Lord. Don't you get tongue-tied on me, amen? You're going to lead that section over there. And listen, the Bible said with a loud voice, I want you all to give it to God. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And then the Bible said in verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, here you go, Brother Brian, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You got it, Brother Brian? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, Coulter, here it comes. Yours is, brother, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him. You got it, Brother Cole? Blessing and honor and glory and power. Get your Bible. That'd be verse number 13, down in the verse there a little bit. Brother Jason, that's chapter number 5, verse number 13 in the book of Revelation. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne. This is what they're doing in heaven. Brother Jason, you ain't going to need your Bible. Yours is found over there in verse number, let's see. The Bible said here, well, where's it at? I lost it, amen. It's in there somewhere. I guarantee you it is. Sit upon the throne, Lamb forever, and 420 beasts. Oh, and verse number 14. And the 420 beasts said, amen. Yours is just amen. You got that, Brother Jason? You can handle that, can't you, brother? Amen. All right, Brother Chris, get them started over here. Y'all stand up and go with it. I'm going to give you a little taste of heaven. Go, brother, go. Don't quit. Keep doing it. Come on. Give you the easy one, Mark. Is that the best y'all got? Glory to God. All right, that's good. That's good. I want to get out of here before 2 o'clock. That's good. Now, let me tell you something. Somebody might say something like this. They might say, well, it ain't like that in heaven. I just read to you where they're doing that up there in heaven. Now, and let me say this to you. Somebody said, well, God ain't the author of confusion. Let me remind you of something. A lady said one time a bunch of people got in the altar. that's praying like we do in the prayer room. And a lady said to the preacher one time, she said, I couldn't understand the word they was saying. He said, honey, they wasn't talking to you.
Right.
Glory to God. I'm telling you, beloved, when we're worshiping, we're talking to one another. And when we get to heaven, we're going to worship the Lamb that was slain. It's a happy place, but it's an honorable place. It's a place where Christ alone will be honored in that wonderful place called heaven. Secondly, there's a place in Luke chapter number 16. There's a place called heaven. It's a holy place. It's His holy dwelling place. But there's also a place called hell. The Word of God uses this phrase in Luke 16:28, a place of torment. A place of torment. Just as sure as there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. A place of torment. I'm going to give you some things this morning. Before I do, I want to say one thing. I've got more respect for somebody that tells me I don't believe a word of this Bible than I do somebody that says, well, I believe there's a heaven, but I don't believe there's a hell. Either this Bible is all right or junk it. This Bible is all right. Let me tell you how right it is. It's forever settled in that holy place. That place called heaven. Forever settled in heaven. I'm going to give you three things quickly about this place called hell. God's warning concerning this place. God's warning concerning this place. Jesus spoke describing heaven one time, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus spoke distinctly no less than 14 times concerning hell. He kept saying over and over, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. Hell or judgment is referred to 234 times in the New Testament. Now let me ask you something. If you were on a highway that was 260 miles long, and there was 234 warning signs on that highway, would you keep going? I believe I'd be looking for exit. I remember when the flood happened over in Unicoi in Irwin. Brother Dale, you couldn't shoot across 26 the way you can now. They got one lane open where you can go on to Asheville now. But beloved, there were signs everywhere. And there's still signs that saying you can't take a load wider than 10 foot. You know what I mean? They're everywhere. I'm telling you, how foolish would it be to ignore 234 signs on a 260-mile journey? 260 chapters in the New Testament, and 234 times we're warned of an awful place called hell. Brother Brian introduced me to this years ago when we would travel back and forth to the airport. It's a little app you can put on your phone called Waze. Anybody ever see that? Amen. I got reintroduced to it and my memory come back a little bit. And so I turned it on. And you know what that Waze will do? It'll say, watch out, vehicle on the shoulder ahead. How many remembers that? Watch out, vehicle on the shoulder ahead. He said, well, preacher, that ain't no big deal. You'd be surprised how many people have drifted off the interstate and plowed into a vehicle that was parked along the interstate. You'd be surprised. Even tractor trailers, Brother Mark, where they just drive right up under a tractor trailer. I'm telling you, I think that Waze has got it. Watch out. There's a vehicle. I like this one. Watch out. Police ahead. Boy, I like that. Amen. You know what God's doing this morning? He's saying, watch out. I'm giving you a warning. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I'm giving you a warning. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, what America needs is about 6 months of red hot preaching on hell. He said, love alone won't get the job done. I read this. There were some Christians in a university, a fine university. Some of them were lawyers. Some of them were studying to be doctors. Some of them were studying to be engineers. And they had this Christian fellowship in this university. And there was 80 of them in attendance in this fellowship. And they asked them, how many of you came to Christ? You trusted Christ because of His great love. Not one hand went up. They said, how many of you came to Christ because you understood the warning and you knew that you were headed to hell at a breakneck speed and you needed a Savior? You couldn't save yourself. You needed a Savior. And you came and 80 hands went up. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can say whatever you want to. But I and all the engineers and doctors and lawyers missing out. Some of them are. But I'm telling you, not all of them are. Some of them understand God's warning. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this. Not only God's warning concerning this place, but God's will concerning this place. You say, Pastor, you mean God has a will concerning hell? Yes, He does. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. The Bible said in Timothy, this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light that lighted every man. You know what God's saying? You're without excuse. There's not one man, not one woman, not one boy, not one girl going to stand before God and say, I have an excuse. Excuse me. Beloved, the creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And there's not one language where it's not understood. God said, they're without excuse. We see God's warning concerning this place. We see God's will concerning this place. I'm going to stop and say something. I've had to ask myself the question, how much do we really believe? I'm talking to God's people now. How much do we really believe there's a place called hell? Because I believe, listen, I'm not going to take the lady's place on the ways, but I think I need to take my place in society. Watch out. There's danger ahead. Watch out. When you come to the end of the way, beloved, listen, God knows. You know in your heart whether you're ready to meet God or not. Amen. Watch out. There's a warning, beloved, that God's people ought to be sounding while we live on the earth. There's God's warning. There's God's will concerning this place. The third thing I see here, there's God's wooing concerning this place. You say, Pastor, what do you mean God's wooing? Well, let me just tell like this. I'd still be on my way to hell if He hadn't come by. That night, beloved, listen, I'd already been a church member 6.5 years. I was doing my very best to do the right thing. I was full of pride. Let me tell you something about your very best. It'll end you in this awful place called hell. I'm not going to heaven because I do my very best. I'm going to heaven because God gave His very best. God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for me. And beloved, that night, I can remember the battle. It was as if the devil was sitting on one shoulder and the Lord was sitting on the other. The devil had this ear and the Lord had this ear. And there was a battle going on. The devil would say, what are these people going to think? God would say, what does it matter what they think? You better get concerned about what I know and what you know. Amen. The devil said, listen, brother, he said, they'll throw you out of this place. God said, I love you.
That's right.
You know what he was doing? Let me tell you what he was doing. This is, Brother John, this is one of old Brother Rightly Salins verses. I wrote it down because I don't have it memorized fully. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I tell you, the devil kept a talking and God kept a drawing. The devil kept a talking and God kept a drawing. I'm telling you that, and I thank God I made one step and it was over. Glory to God. I'm glad he came by. And wooed me unto himself. Let me give you this statement before I go on to the next thing. We got four, remember, so we're about half done. Y'all like that, don't you? See, some of you, you done learned not to get excited when I say now I'm closing. You sure didn't get excited when I said I'm about half done. Half finished, Miss Eve. Okay there. But actually, I'm cooking up here. Amen. Let me give you a statement. God gave me last week, Brother Chris. A person may go to hell without ever loving, but not one person will ever go to hell without being loved. Did y'all hear that? You can go to hell without ever loving, but there's not one person that'll ever go to hell without being loved. For God so loved the world. It didn't say nothing about the white world or the black world or the rich world or the poor world. It said he so loved the world. Brother Grizzle's favorite verse, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said greater love. This is going to take me right into my next point. Hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and for me. Not because I'm somebody, not because you're somebody. Because he's God and he loves us. He wanted to have mercy on us. And the only way that could happen was for the sacrifice to take place. So in the Bible, there's a holy place, a place called heaven. There's a place of torment, a place called hell. But if you'll look in your Bibles with me for just a moment, over in the book of Luke, I believe it is. I thought I put a marker in here, and I did, and then in all this excitement, I pulled it out. But I'll find it in a moment. Look at Luke. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23. How many would agree that we need to consider those two places, a place called heaven as we consider him, and a place called hell as we consider him? Here's the third place we need to consider as we consider him. Look at Luke chapter 23 with me, please, and verse number 33. And they, when they were come to the, what's the next word? The place, which is called Calvary. Over yonder's heaven, over yonder's hell, and in between those two places, there's a place called Calvary. Jesus actually hung between heaven and earth, between heaven and hell, on that cross at Calvary. This is in the reverse order. It's down in the bottom of my notes, Brother Dale. But if you want to know, Brother Dale, why about come unglued when you opened, I'm going to tell you how important it is for the song leader, the Sunday school teachers, for the deacons, for the pastor, for the preachers to be on the same page. Amen. How about come unglued? Because down at the end of my notes on this part, a place called Calvary, it's a sacred place. I put it's a place where the sinner is delivered. And then I wrote, all I wrote under that was the song at Calvary. Because I sat there in the shop. I'm not a singer. But I tell you, I sat there in the shop and went over the words. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If the Holy Ghost ever gets on you about your sin, you'll have a burdened soul. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Let me tell you something. I was sitting on the front pew in a church like this. I believe it was at Liberty years ago. And a preacher said something like this. He said, there are many roads that lead around the cross. And Brother Jack, I thought I was going to have to go jerk him out of the pulpit. And you don't think I wouldn't?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Don't you think for 1 minute I wouldn't?
Amen.
He paused just a few seconds and he said, but just remember, none of them lead to heaven. You can get around the cross. You don't have to come by way of the cross. Lesson, you want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, everybody will come by way of the cross. The Word of God says over there about the Corinthian church, they comparing themselves with themselves were not wise. You know, you've got people that were saved when they were 6 or 7 years old and never looked back. You've got other people that were drunkards or whoremongers and they got saved and they seemingly have this testimony that causes others to doubt. You understand what I mean? No, you don't need to doubt. Not if you've been to Calvary. Say amen. You see, there's a lot of differences in our testimonies, but there's some common denominators. I forget what that was in math, but anyway, I remember the term. A common denominator, amen. I'm going to tell you what we had in common. The wooing of the Spirit of God. Honey, we didn't just get up and decide to come to Him. He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. He wooed me. And then He showed me that He died for me at Calvary. Let me give you a couple things right here real quickly about this sacred place called Calvary, a place called Calvary. Number one, it's a place that the sovereign determined. God had already determined. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. When Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, God didn't say, whoops, what do we do now? Oh, no, He already had a plan. Amen. He already knew who was going to pay the price for sin. It was going to be His darling Son. How many times in the Bible did Jesus say, Brother Jason, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. How many times in the Bible did it say that the Scripture may be fulfilled? That the Scripture may be fulfilled. I'm just telling you, God already had it lined out. You say, Jesus is coming. Yep, God's already got it lined out.
Amen.
You say the saints of God are going to go up in the rapture. Yep, God's got it all lined out. Amen. He's got the judgment seat of Christ lined out. He's got the great white throne judgment lined out. He's got it all lined out. He's a sovereign God. That term don't scare me. He's God. Amen. And then the sacred place is the place where the Savior died. If I ask 100 people, if I stood at the back this morning and said, what is the gospel? How would you answer that? In your mind right now, tell me how you'd answer that. What is the gospel? You could ask 100 people, what is the gospel? I guess probably the common answer would say the good news. Well, what if I back that up with, what's the good news? Did you know there's a scriptural definition for the gospel? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Beloved, that's the gospel. It's a place where the Savior died. And then it's a place where sin was dealt with. I love that line in the song, Brother Junior, my sin, not in part, but the whole. Glory to God. He dealt with all of it right there at Calvary. Amen. 1 Peter said, who Himself bare our sin in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded. I'm going to make a person for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And by his stripes, thank God Almighty, February the 22nd, 1987, I was healed. I had a sin problem. God saved me that day. A place where sin was dealt with. The Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's only one place where God is satisfied with the sin offering. That's at Calvary. At Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ. The next thing, it's a place where Satan was defeated. Ain't you glad? Thank God he's a defeated foe. Brother Coulter, I believe there was a giant bigger than all them giants you talked about. That's old Slewfoot. That old giant, Slewfoot. Listen to what the Bible said. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Glory to God. Way back there in Genesis, God promised the victory. Amen. Amen. He's going to bruise your heel. But I don't know much about snake killing, but I know this. I ain't aiming for their tail. I'm aiming for their head. God wasn't aiming for the tail. He is aiming for the head. He defeated Satan. Amen. Let me give you this now and I'm done. Actually, I'm going to say this real quickly. It's 10 after 12. Coulter said this several times in Sunday school. I'm going to take it after Coulter. Are y'all with me? Have you done went to steakhouse? Are you still with me? Amen. Are you with me? Say amen. Let me give you this last thing. I was going to tell you this. This message started out with three places. And I was just minding my own business yesterday afternoon, meditating a little bit. God said, buddy, you missed one. I had to go look in the Bible and make sure I was right on that. Amen. You say, Pastor, where's that place at? Well, Matthew 28:6, the last place that I want to look at is a place that's empty. It's a hopeful place. The Bible said in Matthew 28:6, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place. Glory to God where the Lord lay. Amen. You say, Pastor, why is that important? Romans 10 said this, said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all. Amen. And then the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You tell me somebody's in their right mind, they're going to talk to a dead God. In other words, beloved, this resurrection is important. Even in the gospel I quoted a while ago, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Beloved, it's a place that's empty. It's a hopeful place. There's hope for the living. The Bible said, listen to this. In Mark 16:7, but go your way, tell his disciples. Anybody know the next two words? And Peter. There's hope for the living. Peter had cussed. Peter had denied him. Peter had warmed his hands by the devil in fire. But you know what? Because he lives and the tomb's empty, there's hope for old Peter. He said, I want you to go tell his disciples. And Peter. Amen. I'm glad he included me in that and. Say amen. Oh, I was rotten, Brother Chris, but I'm glad I have a Savior. Amen. That specializes in saving rotten people. Rotten sinners. A lot of people would say about a man like Brother Coulter going into that prison, well, I let him rot in there. I'm going to tell you what. There's a whole lot of churchgoers going to rot in hell and a whole lot of prisoners going to make it to heaven. You hear me? You hear me well right there. I'm telling you, there ain't no room left for pride. Amen, brother. They done had everything cut out from under them. Some of them, I heard this for years when I was a missionary with Rock of Ages. They said, I guess all them guys in there are innocent, ain't they, Brother Vinoy? I said, well, for whatever it's worth, in 10 years, 3 men. 10 years, 3 men told me they were innocent. And guess what? Before I got out of the Rock of Ages, 10 years of service, 2 out of the 3 men had already been exonerated. If you've got a brain in your head, you've got to know that once in a while they miss it. They get the wrong man. Somebody say amen. But I tell you what they told me over and over and over again. This is what the inmate said. Best thing that ever happened to me.
Yes, sir.
Got me off the street. Got me out of the whorehouse.
Yeah.
Got me out of the bar. Amen. Got me off the drugs. Got my mind cleared up a little bit to where Jesus could speak to my heart. I want you to know something, beloved. There's a hopeful place. That place of the empty tomb. There's hope for the living. Then there's hope for the dead. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that? Well, in Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know what that coffin is, don't you, Brother Jason? It's a hope chest. Y'all right, Brother Chris? It's hope chest. You know what Joseph said? I'm going to die, and they're going to embalm me, and they're going to put me in a coffin. But y'all remember me when God brings you up out of Egypt. God's going to visit you. Amen. How many believes the visit's right around the corner? Say amen. Glory to God. Amen. And you know what? Where the saints of God's buried, they're going to be an empty hole. An empty hole. An empty hole. Hope. Not only for the living, but hope for the dead. If you had to be put in a coffin today, would it be a hope chest? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I didn't put it in my notes because I thought it was off color a little bit.
Go ahead.
Will it be a hope chest or a dope chest?
Yeah.
You say, Pastor, I wouldn't call anybody a dope. Let me tell you something. You leave this world without Jesus, you're going to feel like the biggest dope that's ever lived.
That's right.
I remember when Jesus saved me, one of the feelings that overwhelmed me was foolishness. Why did I wait this long when this is so good? I remember that well. Beloved, would you be buried? Would you be in a hope chest? These four places in the Bible are presented that we might prepare to leave this world of sorrow and awake in our Lord's presence with His likeness. Heaven or hell, your visit to Calvary will decide. It's that simple. Have a little illustration here I want to read. I've read it at the church before. But in case y'all haven't noticed, we have pretty good little turnover at the church. We've got people going to heaven, new people coming in. Thank God we do. So there's a lot of people here that haven't heard it. There's a lot of people here that heard it and you done forgot it. So I'm going to read it again. As Vice President George Bush, he represented the U.S. at the funeral of former Soviet leader, I'm going to try to say his name right, Leonid Brezhnev. Bush was deeply moved by a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until seconds before it was closed. Then, just as the soldiers touched the lid, Brezhnev's wife performed an act of great courage and hope, a gesture that must surely rank as one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. She reached down in the casket and made the sign of a cross on her husband's chest. There in the citadel of secular, atheistic power, the wife of the man who had run it all hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life and that that life was best represented by Jesus, who died on the cross, and that the same Jesus might have mercy on her husband. You and I that are Bible believers know that did nothing for her husband. That was decided, Brother Jason, before he breathed his last breath. But what it tells us is this. You got all kinds of people. I don't believe there is a God. They're fixing to hit somebody hard on the interstate or hit somebody hard in an intersection, and the first thing comes out of their mouth is, "Oh my God." You see, we're God's creation, young'uns. We know better than that. We know there's a God. He put a hole in our heart that only Jesus can fill. You can only meet Him at Calvary, where the sin debt was paid. What we pray for you after you leave this world will have no impact. It's what you do before you leave this world. And really, it's what you do with Jesus. Really, there's only two ways: receive or reject. Receive, wonderful place called heaven. Reject, I can't even put in words. The Bible said, place of torment. The torments were plural. He was tormented by his memory every time he had an opportunity. He was tormented by the flames. He was tormented by the separation. The worst thing about prison, Brother Coulter's separation.
Yes, sir.
They can't be with their family and their loved ones again. It's awful. This morning, as you consider Him, my prayer is you'll consider these four places. A place called heaven. A place called hell. A place called Calvary. And then that fourth place, when they were come to the place. He's not here. He's risen. An empty tomb. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank You this morning for Your mercy, for Your grace. Thank You, God, for my people, for their attention. Lord, every one of us that knows somebody that's saved ought to be praying for them. Every one of us that knows somebody that's unsaved, we ought to be praying for them. We ought to be, Lord, burdened for the lost. We ought to be, Lord, praying for them like somebody prayed for us when we were lost. God, do we really believe in an awful place called hell? Lord, I believe if someone was to preach on hell for 6 months in this generation, the church would probably empty out. People don't want to hear it. But Lord, it's still needed. Lord, I'm glad there's a balance in the Bible. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. There is a wonder of heaven. But there are the horrors of hell. And there is a place called Calvary where our Savior was crucified. Nails driven in His hand. The crown of thorns pulled down in His brow. His back beaten to a pulp. Spit on. His beard plucked. A spear stuck in His side. Oh God, help us never to get over Calvary. What it cost that we might be redeemed. As we sing this morning, if you need this altar, would you come?